Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
You're welcome back to Alive and Kicking. Now, it's time for our Therapy from the Couch series, but we pull Fiona Brennan from her couch and into studio. Fiona, you're very welcome back.
Thank you, Claire.
We're always looking for listener dilemmas. People are going through all kinds of things in life, and this is your chance to get some advice from Fiona. So if there's anything going on that you would like advice and help on, you can email aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. We keep it all anonymous. And I think stories are universal. So what helps one people will indeed help many, as will today's question, I have to say, Fiona. It's a really good one. So I'm going to read it first and then you can give your advice. Hi, Claire and Fiona. I want to remain anonymous here, but I want to ask you about something that's rarely talked about when we discuss bullying. We often focus on the victim, and rightly so, but what do you do when your child is the one doing the bullying? This has happened to my 11-year-old daughter. She was involved in isolating another girl from the group at school, and even though we had lots of conversations about changing friendships, it seems it went further and she was very unkind. There have been consequences in school and at home, but my worry is the answer she gave when we asked why it had happened. She said she has low self-esteem and she would sooner be the bully than the bullied, which has happened to her previously. I'm struggling to know how best to support her, but also to make peace with what's gone on. Would really appreciate your advice.
Brilliant question. It sounds a bit strange, but I was very happy when I saw this come in. Reason being, it's a topic that doesn't get covered enough and really needs our attention. And the first thing that came to mind is actually a time in my own personal story where I was with some friends. This is maybe, God, it could even be 5 years ago, but we were meeting up, good old friends. And one of the lovely girls shared that her daughter, very similar situation, was being bullied in this way. She'd been left out, isolated. And of course, we're all there. Like, she was very upset. It's really hard as a mother to see your child in that situation. So we all offered our, you know, heartfelt empathy and, you know, let her, you know, cry about it. And we're there as a group to support her. And then I said something and it wasn't so popular. And what I said was, you know, the girl who is doing this, or the group of girls who are doing this, and similar kind of age, you know, this age where there's a lot of, you know, competition within the female groups, a lot of division, a lot of trying to survive in that group. And I said, well, I would have compassion, I said, for the girl who's doing it. Oh my God, Claire, I swear. Now, this is not in a professional setting, it was with amongst friends. So they were like, oh, Fiona, for God's sake, what's wrong with you and your bloody compassion? Will you stop? Because when we hear of somebody being bullied, we immediately, and it's very human nature, I can understand where this is coming from, we immediately go into, oh, you know, everyone say, I'd go and get her, and I'd, you know, I'd shake her mother, or I'd tell her to stop, you know, and it brings up this understandable protection and almost a rage towards the girl who is inflicting the hurt and the bullying on the other. But I stayed strong to my opinion, which I always do, because, again, it's not one that is easily communicated. Because what we've got to be clear on here is that we want to understand the behaviour, to have empathy for the person who is bullying as much as the person who is being bullied, because quite often they're coming from the same place. And that's why this question is so intelligent and so emotionally insightful, because we see from the mother and from the child this awareness that there is a low self-esteem. When you are being bullied, quite often you have low self-esteem, and that's why it can happen, is that you are an easy sort of target, if you like, sometimes. But also when you are the person who is being unkind or isolating others, it's coming from the same source. And that's why compassion is so important. Understanding the situation, removing from blaming, removing from judgment, and being able to say, well, let's see, can we understand what's happening on this deeper level? So I think that the most important thing for this parent, this mother who it's a courageous question to ask, and I really applaud her for that, is we've got to look at this in terms of removing shame from her daughter. Because the truth is, we all have the potential to be unkind at times. Our desire as human beings to fit in and to belong is going to actually surpass quite often what we know is right and what we know is wrong, especially when we're in our formative years, especially when we're moving into that, you know, it's prepubescent adolescence. It's a time where things change so quickly. Like, you can be the number one girl. You can be Miss Popular one day. I remember it myself. You know, you can be really popular. And then all it takes is like somebody to sort of turn. And then the next thing, you can be outside that group, right? And that is, to us, a threat. Like, now we are no longer valid in some way. We don't have the emotional intelligence to know that, of course, that's not the case. Because we're so vulnerable, we're so exposed to the group and the peer sort of opinion, if you like, about ourselves. So we have to really take in board that this girl is only 11 years of age. She's forming her ability to understand values, to understand what is right and what is wrong. And the big insight here is that understanding doesn't mean that you say that it's okay. It's not saying this is okay to behave like that. And that's what I was trying to get across to my friends, but it wasn't landing. But what I was saying is, you know, essentially there's something going on. There's that insecurity there. And of course, you don't encourage that behavior. And you want to be clear that that is wrong. But at the same time, I think what's so important here is that a sense of, you know, this young girl's identity is not masked in shame for how she behaved, that she doesn't see herself as a bully.
Yeah, because we're so quick to be binary and things are either good
exactly.
or they're bad.
Yeah.
And there's so much more going on, and there's such a chance for learning and restoration. But I think for schools, for teachers, for parents, bullying is such a difficult thing to know how to properly help and manage and support.
Yeah, but that's the point. It's that binary keeps us stuck, because what happens then is a perfectly lovely person can behave in ways that are less than ideal. Because once the shame and the stigma starts to stick, that person can then just say, well, that's who I am. I'm mean. I'm a bully. I've been told I'm a bully. So that's what I do.
And
right?
The self-esteem goes lower.
And the self, because there's such a shame around it. So as the parent, as this lovely listener, this courageous listener, as I said, has emailed us, her job, and, you know, this is, I think, to be honest, at the kernel, at the heart of being a parent, is to offer that unconditional love, is to say, okay, you've behaved in this way, but that does not stop me for one second loving you in any way, shape or form. You are a good person. You are a kind person. You have behaved in a way that is not ideal or not good, not kind, but that does not change who you are. I know who you are. And that is what actually makes a difference. It's having this support and this belief in you when you don't have it yourself, when you're 11 years old and you're questioning yourself. Where are you going to turn to apart from your parents, apart from your mother? If she can see that in you, if she can hold that space for you and say, I love you, darling. You know, you are, as I said, a kind person and you're learning from this. We've all made mistakes. Show vulnerability. Show times where you might have yourself not been so kind. I was maybe, you know, unbeknownst to myself, I might have been unkind to friends over the years. The other point, so that's a main one that I would say here, Clara, but the other point I think is important is to look at the understanding of the daughter in terms of maybe when she was younger, 8, 7, who knows, you know, at some point in primary school, she might have felt that isolation because her words are, I'd rather be the bully than be bullied, right? So that is like a little, quite a big clue into maybe she's felt what that's like. She knows what that's like and how hard that is to be the person who is bullied. So it's a self-protection. You know, we talk about in developmental psychology, it's like social protection. We will do what we can to protect ourselves and our status in a group. Because, like I said, when we feel we are outside of that group, if we are cast aside, then that is essentially so significant to our sense of self and our sense of safety.
And I think the advice you're giving to this parent will also help parents of the victim in the situation, because we're not mitigating that, as you said.
Yes.
So how do we help parents of kids of this age to navigate? Because this is a really, I have a daughter who's 12.
Yes.
So I know this very well. Mm. They go from, you know, when they're like 4, 5 and 6, they'll kind of play with anyone who's the same size as them. And then they get a bit older and they realize they have different likes, dislikes. People start to get grouped into, you know, who's cool, who's not. And it's really sad to actually see as an adult, because, you know, that's how the world often can play out, that we group people and we start to get a bit of a hierarchy going on. What's your advice to parents during that time to help them all navigate it, whether they be the one isolating or feeling isolated? How do we help them through this tricky, turbulent time?
Well, I think it's about actually teaching the child to have their own sense of validation being an internal process. Now, that is something that requires a lot of reassuring. And essentially, you know, as adults, we can do this for ourselves. But when we are so young and so formative and so, I suppose, influenced by our people around us, we need a voice that keeps on being very like a mountain. It's stable and it's solid, and it keeps telling you that, you know, if somebody, for example, makes a comment about your shoes being the wrong or your hair being weird, or, you know, the way kids can, is that you know within your own heart that that is not the case, right? And that you stay true to your own self, but you're too young to do that. So that is the job essentially of the parent, to step in there, to be a consistent companion, and to share, like, you know, that insight. Well, look, whoever said that, you know, they're struggling, you know, they have their own issues, and they're just taking it out on you. It's not your fault, you know. To hold your head up high and not to take things personally is a life. It's a lifelong skill, but it's one, if you can learn early, just think about how amazing that can be in terms of emotional intelligence going forward, you know?
They can be that group, that girl or boy in their group of friends, and who goes, oh, for God's sake, you and your goddamn compassion. But yes, let's all be more compassionate. The world would be a better place. I would also say to that parent that that's tricky. I've been through tricky parenting situations myself. And mind yourself, and this is going to sound like a very convenient segue, it's not. We really need to mind ourselves. Fiona, you have a fabulous course on offer at the moment. I've done it myself. Mm. As parents, we really need to make sure that we're as strong as we can be, and that we're minding ourselves as well as we can be, so we can weather this madness storm that parenting can be. Light Up Your World is available now until the 2nd of August. Where can people find it?
On thepositivehabit.com. So it's a lifestyle medicine and positive psychology course. And you're right, the more robust you are, the more you have that ability then to be that rock for your child.
Yeah, and it's all online. You just set aside 15, 20 minutes to yourself every day to dedicate to you and minding yourself, and to you and your daughter, we wish you all the very best. Fiona Brennan, thank you so much for coming on. Right, coming up after the break, I headed to Arunachala in Leash to visit Ireland's first dedicated Ayurvedic retreat centre and meet its owner, farmer Neil McDermott.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
When she said, I don't dance now, I make money moves, that was a mission statement for a whole new generation.
Respect, but that's not the Mount Rushmore. Listen, cash rules everything around me. When that line dropped, it changed the whole hustle.
The greatest tracks are never finished. They're just debated forever. Introducing the Sprite Living Tracklist. 50 tracks that shape the culture from 6 decades of hip-hop. Scan the QR code on a Sprite or Sprite Zero Sugar to see the full breakdown. Obey your thirst. Sprite.